Folks, how lucky are we? The Beacon Street Buzz is back from the break, and it's our favorite hockey weekend of the year. Boston College plays Boston University for the 296th time, first on Friday at Aganis Arena, and then on Saturday at Conti Forum. The 1 versus the 8, and a stacked Hockey East, a tight race. Boston College looking for a pair of wins and some key points. This week we hosted a couple familiar faces. Goaltender Jacob Fowler and right winger Ryan Leonard. Join myself, Giovanni Collada, Pepper Green, Paul Koltovich, Jackson Shafiroff, and Alden Hunhold for a wide-ranging conversation ahead of the big matchup with the Eagles' bitter rival. It's BU week, folks. Welcome back to the Beacon Street Buzz. Let's get buzzing. I'll keep your eyes on the road, you hand upon the wheel. Eagle Nation, how lucky are we?
Next pitch is swung on and driven high and deep to left field. That ball is gone. Tell the band to play for Boston. Your Eagles are the Beat Hot Champions.
Hands it off to Kai Robichaud, and he breaks free down the right sideline. A track race to the pylon. He is in. Touchdown, Boston College. Big matchup this weekend. BU on deck. We'll go back before we go forward. Obviously, coming back from the break, you were at World Juniors, Ryan, for a second year. Jacob, you were there last year. Ryan, what was it like winning a gold medal?
Yeah, it was really cool. I knew it was going to be a tough environment going in there, and to do something that the United States has never done before, and to do it in Canadian soil was pretty cool, and yeah.
I hesitate to say scared, but when they got eliminated, you had to smile a little bit, right?
Yeah, you smile, but they, like, at the end of the day, you kind of want to play them too in the gold medal game. Like, I mean, that would have been the easiest game to get up for.
Not only gold medal probably. Game, in Canada, yeah. Which is really cool.
Yeah, so when we played them in the round robin, it was so cool. But to see them get eliminated pretty early, it was kind of tough, but it was good for us.
Absolutely, I would say so. And free burritos for another year, right?
Yeah,
there we exactly. go. That's the perk of it.
What's it like captaining a team like that?
Yeah, and probably something you don't really think about until the situation's kind of there. And it's definitely a whole new role. Last year, being a younger guy, not really having to worry about things and plan some things off ice. And now this year, you're holding guys accountable more. You're planning things off the ice to do with the team, and you kind of just really gotta bring the group together in a short period of time to win a championship and become a brotherhood as fast as you can.
Yeah, and with your future in the NHL looming, like, did the thought of this possibly being your last year in championship, how'd that mix in with the whole experience?
Yeah, you definitely want to go out with a bang. So, I mean, last year, fouls and 0-4 group, it was our last opportunity at the World Juniors, so winning gold in Sweden was pretty cool. What we knew for our group, it was for the 0-5s, we won U18s as a team, and then last year, a couple of us being there with the 0-4 group, it was pretty cool, and to cap all of our U.S. kind of just representing the United States as a couple guys that has been together for the past couple of years. It's something you definitely wanted to do, and we were pretty fortunate.
And obviously, probably your favorite moment was getting the gold in the last game. What was it like seeing Teddy score the one on the tee for the tournament?
I mean, to think that guy was getting scratched at the start of the tournament is crazy, and that's his only shot on goal whole tournament. So, I mean, he waited for the right time to shoot. But yeah, I was just so happy for him, and you just jump off the bench right away, and you don't care who scores. It is the coolest moment of your life.
Jacob, I know you didn't go this year, but you did go last year. What was it like having a bit of an extended break between playing at BC?
Yeah, it was definitely a little weird, obviously, being so close to the group we had last year. And, you know, having the six guys go again this year, you're still talking to them pretty much every day. But it was nice. Got to go home, you know, be in the sun, be on the beach a little bit, kind of decompress from kind of the first half of the season. But we were back the 29th, right back to work, and we were training here, but still watching these guys every night they were on. So yeah. Cool to see them represent the country, and Happy to see him come back with the red medal.
And this is a question for both of you, regardless of where you were over the break. How do you guys stay focused on what your goals are here at BC while you're out doing other things?
I think obviously it's a little different for the six guys that went, obviously. As much as you want to focus on the season that we're playing here at BC, when you go put that jersey on, you're representing something a little bit bigger and playing for your nation. And you know, your ultimate goal is in that short time to come together as quick as possible to win something and do something, like you said, they've never done before for USA Hockey. And for a guy like myself who didn't go over there, it was kind of just make sure you're doing the right things every day, that when you come back in December that you didn't just take a month off, you're still ready to go and ready to hit the ground running when you get back.
I think, like, especially with going over there and you're playing with the top college guys and CHL guys that are of your birth year or right around it. So it doesn't matter where you come from. You really got to put all egos aside and school stuff behind you. And you really just have to come together, like I said, just trying to become a brotherhood as fast as you can. And it's cool to play with those guys. And then obviously seeing them in the second half who with all the teammates that we had and a couple guys this weekend, like it's going to be fun and fun to play for sure.
So, top it all off, you guys got to beat Finland, which, if I'm not mistaken, weren't they the only team that handed you the OT loss? What was that like?
Knowing that we lost to them in the round robin, you knew it was going to be an interesting game. That was the third time we actually played them in the tournament. We played them before the tournament started in a little exhibition game. So we kind of knew what their team was about. And yeah, I mean, like you said, it was the only team that really beat us. So, but I mean, you really just got to be confident within the group and confident with the coaching staff and just know that the guys to the right and the left have your back. And we knew Trey was going to do all the right things in that.
And with the burritos, again, of course, I'm still stuck. Did they give you like a card or just, hey, I'm Ryan Leonard or
no,
take a towel
so,
and I'll get a free burrito?
No, so you.
It's
have
not
to,
what you think whatsoever.
No, it's
we
not
were all
at
so
all.
Mad
we
last
were
year.
So
we
got
what?
So, yeah, so you're so. I mean, don't get me wrong. So,
no,
it's
yeah.
still a lot.
It's still free burrito.
We thought you were legitimately going to get like.
So, like, just like a normal like credit card.
Yeah.
Like, credit card. You just have a Chipotle, like, and it
card,
expires.
Right.
Expires then 2025. You scan it, you have. I'm going to get a burrito here, I'm going to get a burrito there, blah, 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 blah. Whoever wants one, like, I'll get it. And then we get a text from Fish, right, the media guy.
It took
oh, yeah.
way longer. We thought
yeah.
it was going to come, like, overnight.
They should
yeah.
extend the back end.
Yeah, it was like a week and a half this year. I forget what it was last year. And so he goes, it's everything's in your, you had to give your email for, like, Chipotle Rewards. And
oh,
then
there's a whole
so,
sign-up process?
Yeah,
oh, come
so you,
on.
You have to sign up for Chipotle just Rewards. And then you get 52, so one for every single
oh.
week of the year.
It's literally one a week.
Yeah.
It's scaring you.
It's
I
still
mean, don't
like,
get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of free
like 52,
burritos.
That's over $500.
Like based off that chipper chant I saw in the locker room, you guys were excited.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were excited.
No,
and rightfully so.
You're stoked. And then, I mean, you can also get double whatever, guac, queso,
oh,
like all that. But
all
then,
inclusive.
But then, yeah.
That's
but
sweet.
You still gotta get fountain drink if you want one or chips.
So what's the go to for you guys?
Every time. Yeah, I always go bowl, but I liked the brisket when they had
brisket's
that.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know if they're gone. Is it gone?
I haven't been in a long time.
This Chipotle is also the worst.
Yeah,
it's the worst Chipotle.
The proportions are like...
Yeah.
And they never have any.
And the line
is
always out
the
door.
Gone.
Yeah.
It's the only Chipotle in the area.
You can't go there past like 6
the
o'clock.
Oh, it's
speaks for itself.
Brutal.
Yeah. It takes you like 6 minutes to get through the like line.
And not to mention the walk for you guys on campus. I mean, for us, those of us that are off campus, it's a little...
Yeah.
Shorter, but it's still a hike
well,
to get there.
You can take
there.
The bus or
yeah.
if you got a car, it's all good.
I think Beacon Street Buzz, we got to run a Chipotle shuttle for these guys. We got to charter a car, get it from campus.
You're doing
down
too much.
To Chipotle
that's
back.
Doing.
It's got to be a different Chipotle, though. That's one.
But we
got to
work
it's
something
it's
out. We got to
well,
make
what
the
kind of
out.
Money do you think we have for this?
Shareholders.
We don't even get paid. Please.
We're not talking about your restaurant here, Paul. He started a restaurant, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you guys should come check it out.
Do you want to share that, Paul?
Keep it off the podcast, but... out of the basement of our house, off campus, restaurant, made money.
What kind of food?
Italian food. We mainly Italian, right?
What would you say your favorite dish is? The shrimp.
We made a good shrimp scampi.
Yeah.
Made a good
wow.
shrimp scampi.
Wait, is this the thing that you guys kept talking about?
Yeah, it's Park Terrace.
She doesn't even know what it is.
I was so lost all
where
Christmas.
Where is it? You live on Foster?
Right off Foster.
Yeah, right off. Eightland Park. So 2.5.
Listen, you need a reservation.
They're curious, Paul.
We have like a little tradition. Like every Thursday, we'll have like Italian food.
Yeah, you go to Italian.
But usually we go somewhere else.
Host
we
Boston guys, we
vodka. Vodka Parm is usually like the go-to.
I think they could do Vodka Parm.
You can do it.
I think they
can
do it.
I have.
Who's the chef? Are you the main chef?
Well, no, Chef Amici, but
he's got an alias.
What's anything dessert or appetizer?
We light your dessert on fire.
How am I not?
I'm not bullshitting you either.
I mean, Pepper, you missed a lot when you were wherever you were.
You guys are really out of it.
How's business?
We did good. We're going off the rails here.
He's got a lot of interesting ideas. We did not think this would succeed whatsoever.
We did it as a joke one time.
This profited, basically, which is...
Every week, or serve somebody.
Do you just serve someone?
Wait, is there tables down there?
The what?
Their tables?
Yeah. We put one table in our living room.
Oh, so it's like people really exclusive.
People were texting us and we put it in our living room.
So it's hard to get a reservation.
It's good.
It's...
Should
we go back to hockey? I think Paul wants to go back to hockey.
I think we're going back to hockey.
Paul, why don't you go back to hockey?
Yeah, we'll...
Right, so...
it's not.
What's cool about you guys coming back is that it was almost over a year ago since we had you on. And, of course, things... A lot's happened since then for you both. I think we had you on in February, I believe, Ryan, or something like that.
It was December.
You were way to go, Pepper, doing your prep. But still, you guys are different hockey players since that time. How has your game changed since last year to this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was a pretty fun year, I think, as a group and individually. Kind of just being in the college life, kind of maturing, growing up a little bit. I think coming into school last year was... more than I was expecting when it came to the hockey side of things, with obviously how competitive our league is and, just college hockey in general. And I think being part of such a special group, my confidence got to grow and grow each week. And, I think from night one this year, coming back, being 1 year older in our locker room, just kind of lead with some of that confidence and, let that trickle down to some of the younger guys who haven't obviously like this played, in a battle of ComAv or maybe haven't played in certain situations. So. Kind of just becoming more confident each week and trying to get better to, obviously become a pro one day and just get there one day at a time.
I think for myself, just playing, kind of like I said, with the World Juniors, it's a little bit different now. I was lucky enough to get on the leadership squad this year, so it's pretty cool to have the guys look at me like that. Just trying to become a pro, like Fal said, become a pro before you're really a pro. So. Like you said, last year it was kind of just, you're new to college, it's the life, you gotta enjoy it, but you really gotta learn to manage it and become a student athlete. So it was a learning curve for sure, but this year it's a lot different. And like Fal said, it's a different team, and you gotta really try to take the positives from last year and try to learn from them, but you can't really look at last year's team anymore. It's the season's halfway over now, so we're really involved with this team now, but it's going great.
Well, obviously you guys had an incredible year last year, and unfortunately it didn't end the exact way you guys wanted, but do you think you've taken anything from how the season has ended into this year? Like, has it pushed you in any ways, new goals for the season, new goals for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that loss last year kind of didn't sink in for a while, but I think more of just the fact that our group from last year wasn't going to be together anymore was kind of the hardest part. And I think for at least myself being a freshman, I don't think I understood kind of the magnitude of what that game was and how special of a year it really was just in the history of this program. And I think, each day over the summer when you're here or at home kind of working towards the season, you're always thinking about kind of that moment and shaking the other team's hand and knowing you really don't want to feel like that again. And I think spreading that down through obviously the younger guys and the guys that come back that know the feeling, you just don't want to wait to the wrong time to get that wake-up call and just know that you kind of control your own destiny and just focus on ourselves and become the best version you can each day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably say it didn't really sink in, honestly, until so you kind of see the Denver like Instagram and stuff like that, where they're getting their rings and their whole celebration, and all that. So we got a buddy on the team that we played with in the World Juniors and before, but I mean, obviously, like, you don't want him to win, but obviously you have to be happy for him. But yeah, like Fel said, it didn't really sink in for a while, but everyone in the locker room that's returning knows how hard it was. And like Fel said, you don't really realize the season we had until this mm-hmm. year. Like, what did we lose? 5 games?
It's four regular seasons.
Yeah, six all year last year. Yeah, so 6 all year last year. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. And you can't really think. I mean, obviously, the expectation has to be that, and that's driving for every single day. But it's kind of tough to really have your mind all the way on the national championship once you get here at the start of the year. You kind of have to really get the young guys to really buy into every weekend matters so much in college hockey with pairwise and Hockey East Points, everything. And we've done a great job this year, so we're just looking forward to the second half.
So coming off that team you guys had last year in that group, the group of guys that left, like, what was the biggest lesson or the biggest memory they had taken away from that season?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of our team motto all year was well done's better than well said. And I think there's a lot of guys in our room now and that were in there last year that had played in big games. You know, we had a transfer last year who had been to the Frozen Four and he didn't get the job done as well. Like, those moments that guys have been in, you know, whether it be BC or not, you know, they're kind of trying to spread that, you know, experience that they have. And I think for us, you know, obviously being sophomores this year, you're not juniors, seniors, or, you know, we have a couple fifth years, but, you know, you're an older guy in the locker room now, and, you know, you can lead by example. It doesn't have to be something you say in the room. And I think for us, it's understanding we're not last year's team when it comes to maybe the team identity or the style, but the lessons that I took from last year and that we have as a team now, we're still implementing each day, and, you know, it starts again with Friday night here.
And to piggyback off the questions about the summer, so Ryan, obviously the Caps made it playoffs last year. Either way, there's obviously discussion about you going out playing for them, not only in the playoffs, but just to continue into this year. What led to your decision to stay here, even though they wanted you?
It was really tough, but I mean, to do 1 year of college, everyone says it's the best 4 years of your life. So to really just do 1 year is kind of something I couldn't really think about doing. And I think losing that last game, it didn't sit too well, like we've said before. And you're just eager to get back and to leave everything out there this year. Something you really want to do. So, I mean, definitely the hardest decision of my life I've ever had to make. And said this before, my brother was the biggest person I've leaned on through that period of time. And I know I made the right decision of coming back and being able to play at World Juniors this year too. That was a big part of that. But yeah, coming back for the team and really just taking care of unfinished business.
And how much of your decision was based on what Will Smith obviously going up to the Sharks was, and then, you know, Gabe Perreault choosing to stay here? What do you think went into that, and how did you guys collaborate on those decisions, if at all?
Honestly, nothing. You're looking out for yourself. At the end of the day, it's you're a college student, you're going to class, or you're paying bills.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you're adult at that point. I mean, now you're still in college. We're still in a dorm. We still got dining bucks to go to the dining hall. We got hillside money, all that stuff. Like, I mean, that's all away now. And you're living in an apartment. You got to pay for all that stuff. And just wasn't really ready to leave college yet, and ready to leave the BC program. So, like I said, it was more of an individual thing. And but when I learned, when Will told me that he was going to San Jose, obviously you're sad in the moment that he's not coming back, but in the long term, he's one of your best friends, and you're looking at, and you want to look out for him, and he thinks that's the best thing for himself. And you just gotta hope he's right. And he's doing great this year, and it was fun to see him weekend. Yeah.
So, TD Garden.
Were you guys there?
Yeah.
Jacob, you mentioned how tightly knit that group was last year. Do you guys still, to what extent do you guys still keep in touch with those guys last year, whether it's Will or anyone else?
I mean, like you just said, obviously we got to be with Will over the weekend. Jamie Armstrong's another guy, was back. He's at Hillside with us yesterday.
Like, nice.
Just he's the relationships.
For an hour and a half. Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, those relationships, obviously, like, you know, throughout your whole career, whether it's juniors or youth hockey, you're always going to have these relationships. But I think, you know, in college, it's a little bit different with how close of a group you are. You're with each other every day for hours on end. And, you know, we still talk to each other. You know, Cut was just out in Philly for the first time a couple weeks ago, oh, yeah. So our whole team was talking again about that. But
whole family was there. I don't know if I showed you guys videos.
We saw some videos.
I think
the whole world saw it.
But again, like our group last year was something special. I think you take hockey away from everything just as a group. I think all the different personalities in that room. Came together so well, and I think that was a huge part of why it translated to the on-ice success.
Absolutely. I mean, the bond you guys have is clearly evident on the ice. I mean, I think your line in particular, you had that synergy from the moment you stepped on the ice. Going into this year, obviously mostly new line mates in terms of who you're playing with, but they're still your teammates, as you mentioned. How does that shift for you, Ryan, playing with a new group of players this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, it was easy playing with Gabe and Will every night, but yeah. At some point it's got to switch up, and going to a new league soon, so it's gonna be different. You're gonna have different line combinations from night to night if something not clicking, and it was fun while it lasted with Will and Gabe, and for those two complete seasons, every single game playing with those guys, it was pretty easy. So just knowing where those guys were, but I mean it's fun now playing with different guys. And the lines have switched up a couple times this year, and it's fun to play with different guys, and it's cool.
Yeah, speaking of playing with different guys, obviously James Higgins is a highly touted prospect that's probably going to go first overall next year. What's it like to play with a guy who has so much expectation?
Yeah, you look at the expectation he has, and it speaks for itself. He sees the ice, how calm he is out there, and how loose he is. It really benefits his game, and he sees the ice so well and can make plays you don't really think about. But I think something that really sticks out to me too about him is how smooth he is. It doesn't really look like he's really skating at all, and he's up the ice pretty quick. Just I don't know how he does it. I wish I was a little bit smoother on my edges like him, but he's so much fun to play with, and we're always having a good time on the bench or on the ice. So I think that's one of the biggest keys is success.
Crazy to hear you say that for as good of a skater you are. Right? That's insane. And Jacob, what's it like going against him in practice?
Yeah, obviously it's a little weird. I think ever since I was younger, you always think like when guys are a couple years younger than you that they're maybe not as good as you think. And I played against him a couple times, obviously, when he was with the national team. Yeah. And being at the summer showcase and World Junior Camp with him a couple times, it wasn't really a secret. You know, everybody kind of knew how good he was and how crazy it was that he was at those events, even at the age he was. And, you know, I think he's impressed me. It's not really a question. And the way he goes out and approaches every day, he's so much fun to be around. And, you know, he's a pretty good player, too, on the ice. So it's a lot of fun to be around him.
It's helped you guys out a bit, right? Yeah, just a little bit.
I mean, I'm just looking at it right here. There was a goal a couple weeks ago when you guys played Lowell here. You, James, and Gabe was on the assist. That was incredible. Tic-tac-toe play. You guys got it going, definitely, for sure.
Going back to specific moments, Ryan, I got to ask you about that goal against Maine, because that game was insane. Oh, God. Wait, why the hesitation?
When we, the first night when we...
No, the second where we came back and won.
That was the first.
We're talking about the same thing. That was obviously probably tense before that moment, but you scored an incredible goal to win it. I would ask you what it's like, but I think we saw in your reaction how cool that was for you.
I mean, yeah, it was a shit show after I scored that, and we were all in a pile right away. So, and James was on top of me, Eamon was on top. It was so much fun. But that at the end of the day, that's college hockey. That's something you don't really get in the NHL or the AHL. The student involvement. Yeah. And if you look at the, especially with the whiteout, it's just so much fun. And what we were and what we or us in Maine was ranked at the time. You knew those points on that weekend were huge, and to come back and then score that late, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I've read today you guys have 11 ranked wins. It's most in the NCAA. It's incredible to see that you guys have played a bunch of tough teams really well. How do you think that's going to translate, both of you having been to an NCAA tournament, into the postseason and eventually trophy season when that starts in February?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously I wouldn't say we've had an easy game yet throughout my 2 years, which I think hockey, just over these last couple seasons, it's pretty evident that no matter what you're ranked, anybody can win on any given night. And unfortunately for us, like we saw at the hard way a couple weeks ago, obviously we had six guys just win a gold medal and we lost to Merrimack, who wasn't having the best run at the time. And I think it shows. Like, I was looking at the standings today, UNH, I think, is last in Hockey East right now, and I want to say they're top 20 in the country.
Yeah.
And that's not
something that happens
often. I
believe it's 11 in the top 25. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, but it's just, I think these ranked opponents are going to help us a lot, but I think for us as a group, it's been understanding that it's us against our opponent every night, and you kind of just got to go out and take care of your own business, and, that'll help us in the long run.
Yeah.
And then to go back to that main game, obviously it was the whiteout. They got the white towels, and they were honoring both the Gaudreaus and
Tony Bowers.
But what's it like playing in their memory? Obviously, growing up watching Johnny too.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool, and to see what his family's done this year, and all the fan bases and the clubs that Johnny and Maddie have played for. It just shows for the hockey community. It doesn't really matter where you are or where they are in the hockey life, whatever age you're at or level you're at, everyone's going to honor both of them or all three of them with us and Tony here, which is how it ended. Johnny and Matt were some hockey legends that unfortunately lost, and but it's, at the end of the day, it's life, and the impact that they both made on themselves and the people around them and the hockey community was something that'll never be forgotten. And to do it against Maine that night, and I thought it was pretty cool. I was starting that night, and I just remember looking over at whoever their left wing was, and I looked at their jersey, and they had the same patch that we have with JG, MG, and TV. I thought that was pretty cool, and it just shows how everyone in the hockey community kind of comes together when a tragedy like that happens.
I mean, it is nice to see some of the cool moments that can come from terrible things like that. And you guys did a great job of honoring their memories this season. And I want to pivot to BU on the schedule. You played them. You guys, how many times you played them? I mean, we all saw it. 6-2 was the last time you played them. I mean, that game had to be incredible to be a part of. Jacob, you made one of the greatest saves I've ever seen. And Ryan, you were all over the ice in that Hockey East Championship. Have a banner still hanging in TD Garden. When you go back there to see Will, or, obviously hopefully be back there for the Hockey East Tournament this year and definitely for the Bean Pot, what's it going to be like to see your banner up there?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to the Garden a few times, obviously, since then, and every time you look up there, it's pretty cool to see that and the memory that you have of just being there with the group, and kind of something that whenever you win a championship, it's something that nobody can ever take away from our team that we had last year. So obviously want to hang, two more banners up in there by the end of the season, and it starts again this weekend with getting more Hockey East points.
That'd be nice. A couple more banners up there.
I thought
you were going to say something.
Well, I'm a little bit quiet today.
Okay. You're not feeling it?
I'm enjoying it.
All right. Well, you know, when they aren't feeling it, they still have to go out there and do their job.
BU's at 8 right now, right?
Yes.
BU's at 8, so they're always a tough opponent for you guys. What's the mindset going into a game like this where maybe it's not as close as 1-2 or 1-3 as it was last season, but they're always a tightly contested opponent in these games?
I don't think it really matters with BC and BU. They're the 2 years ago now when that 9-6 game, that was I forget that BU was ranked, I think, top 10 or something
like
and
that.
And BC BC was
not 30.
And they scored 9 goals. I think it doesn't really matter. But we got to know that the other team is going to come ready to play and put on the BC sweater every single game, like Fowles has kind of said before. You know, you're going to get the best out of any single team you play. But just knowing what's at stake this weekend, with how big these points are, I think both teams are going to definitely bring their A game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You saw them, ended up seeing them 4 times last year, guys. And what was your... I mean,
almost
obviously,
a fifth. Almost a fifth.
Almost a fifth. That would have been insane. But do you have a favorite memory from any of those games? Obviously, you guys did pretty well in those games, so I'm sure there's a lot of happiness to take away from that. But what stood out to you the most?
I mean,
probably just scratched the beanpot game.
Yeah, the beanpot game was definitely last on that one. But,
Maybe interesting.
All those games were just so cool, like the atmosphere of being in it, I think. You know, obviously I'm not from Mass and kind of didn't know how big the rivalry really was. And, you know, I'd put it up against any rivalry in college hockey. But I think my coolest memory is I always get to the game pretty early and to see people lined up outside of Conti. I don't even remember how early it was, but it was really
it's
early.
It's like right when we left.
Yeah, no, it was.
Also people were lining up when we left, like pre-game meal. So
yeah,
and that you guys was know, like we eat pretty early before game. So we eat at like 1:30 and see people.
Exactly. So let's say it's a 7 o'clock puck drop. Like you probably get to the stadium after pre-game meal. What, 4 or so at the latest?
Yeah, 4:30.
Right.
Yeah. Usually, I don't know. This year I tried to get there as late as possible. Usually we got to be there at least by 5. But
right.
Last year was definitely a bit earlier, and to see that many people outside, it just showed
crazy.
Obviously kind of where you know you want to play in games like that when you come to a school like
100%.
This. To see how much passion you know everybody that supports BC has, it just makes my job easy to just go out there and you know stop pucks.
The line, we'll probably get to the Chemistry Center this year.
Definitely.
I mean, for Providence, it was to the Chemistry Center.
Yeah,
so that's a top 10 matchup, right? But. It's still not BU, obviously.
Yeah. I didn't make it into BU. They got on the end.
Last year?
Last year.
Oh, come on.
That's messed up.
You got to get there early.
I know.
You committed.
Obviously, it's a different atmosphere. What's the, I mean, see you at the end of the games doing your little Eagles. What's the chirp game like? Is it any different than any other game, or is it?
It's just a lot of tension.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both schools know, like.
What's at stake?
You know, it's anytime you play another school in Boston, let alone BU, there's always something like, you know, it's kind of like an unsaid thing that everybody knows there's kind of bragging rights in the line, and obviously, you know, we had the better of them last year, and, you know, I think they definitely remember that, so I think, obviously, we know a lot of guys over there, whether playing with them or against them a bunch growing up, and, you know, as much as you want to say it's just another weekend of two games, it's, you know, definitely something that both schools have circled on their calendar every year, and that the alums and the students always want to be at, and you carry that over in any type of BCBU arguments. It's always going to be there on you know how the hockey teams are doing. So it's a big one this week.
Absolutely, I know we had Colby Ambrosio on last year, and he talked about the Tuck rivalry for BU, and obviously that's an interesting fold of it. But you guys obviously have friends, maybe on BU, whether it's World Juniors or some other times your paths have crossed. What's that like? Playing in this bitter rivalry against some people you're acquainted with.
Yeah, just being with those three guys that are at BU right now, and they were just teammates with them 4 weeks ago. It's pretty crazy to think about, and now going into these weekends, you know what's at stake. But you just take their tendencies that you really knew that they played with when you were on the same team with them, and then just try to defend them like that, or. For Cole, just a little bit different with defensemen. Got to play him a little bit more honest than a couple other defensemen. Just how shifty he is, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I mean, obviously you guys have your pregame rituals for any games or anything like different, or like could you actually just like walk me through any pregame rituals you guys have?
I mean, I'm not the most superstitious guy in the world, but I think the biggest thing last year is obviously going to World Juniors was a bigger stage than I'd been on in my career. And a couple guys had told me maybe to start meditating. And before every game, I'll go on the bench, meditate for 10 to 15 minutes, and you kind of block out everything and understand that you're at your best when you're in the present. And I think for me, it's, you know, the hardest thing was always with college hockey, you only play on the weekends that, you know, like tonight, you know, it's not Friday and Saturday. You can't start thinking about the game yet. So kind of just staying more relaxed and more in the moment has allowed me to kind of just appreciate playing these games more.
Definitely. I'm with Fels on that. It's more just trying to become more relaxed and relaxed. You know, once you kind of come out there for starting lineups and national anthem, it's going to feel a little bit different than it did in warm-ups. But that's to be expected, and that's the fun in the game. But he does a little bit of meditation, and I don't know if I really catch myself meditating, but try to do a little bit of visualization and just try to picture everything going right that night for me and for the team. So I try to do that before the game, and then before like there for the actual game to start, I always try to say a prayer and kind of get myself in the right mindset right before the game.
Yeah, I want to circle back for a second. We're talking about the competition with guys on BU and the other guys, you know, on the teams. We've got some competition in the locker room now, right now. Both of you guys nominated for the Hobie Baker as of this morning.
Can't believe we can get to the big news. Congrats, guys.
Yeah, congrats. Pretty impressive. Right, yeah. Got any banter between you two yet? You guys going at it? Yeah.
We couldn't remember how many guys we had nominated last year.
Yeah,
we thought, because it seems like it's three around all of college hockey. I thought we had four last year, so kind of the cool thing playing at BC is usually some schools it's, you know, one or two. You know, we got three guys up for it.
Yeah.
Last year I thought we had four guys up for it, so it's pretty cool to see it be around each other.
Yeah, tight competition for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What would it mean to win it?
I think I'd...
Do you not think
about
that yet?
Cool, but
we're a long way away, but...
Definitely something else.
Yeah, you won a national championship over
Bobby
Baker, so...
Championships over MVPs.
Yeah.
Although you got the championship and the MVP, Equal Juniors, Ryan, so you don't have to choose. that's the good part of it. And we're almost at the end here. Pepper, do you want to do your favorite segments back for another season?
Yes. So I'm going to do some, like, rapid fire. And I mentioned this earlier. I re-listened to the episodes from last year. So I have your guys' answers from last year.
Oh.
Ryan, I don't have all of yours. I was, like, trying to find them. but I'll ask you the question and I'll reveal.
Is it the same question?
Yeah, it's the same questions. I'll sneak some new ones in too. Okay.
No.
Okay, what's your favorite dining hall?
Eagles.
Okay.
Is that a dining hall?
Yeah.
Did we have this debate last time?
Oh, yeah. We had this debate with you last time.
We had this debate.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did
say
Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, probably lower. It's closest to my dorm now.
All right. Well, it was Mac last year.
Well, we still like.
You guys go to Mac.
Mac breakfast after class.
Mac omelets are the best.
Well,
yeah.
We'd have class at 9, usually on Fridays, and you'd always feel like bad about yourself on game day if you didn't wake up and go to class, because we'd go get breakfast at Mac after, and then go down to the rink. But usually it was, well, we had math actually after, so we'd. Go,
well, we'd go
class,
yeah, then we'd
eat,
go
and then go to math. So it was like
11.
Mac breakfast is still probably my number one.
Okay. All right. We'll count it.
All right. Favorite menu item, like, at any of the BC dining halls?
Honey Q Chicken.
That
hasn't been back this
year. They moved it.
It's upstairs.
In the, by
where?
The pizza.
Found that out the
what
other day.
Pizza?
It's by the pizza in the corner.
Every day in lunch.
Yeah.
What pizza?
Yeah.
But every day?
I don't know if it's every day.
Maybe not every day, but at least once a week.
Which one? The one above lower?
No,
it's
no,
Mac.
Mac.
It's Mac still.
Eagles all the way
Nest.
To
above
Nest.
Nest.
Like no, above Nest. So just like in Mac, like
it's the last.
They've got it
before
again.
You go
back.
To
yeah, oven something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just go locationally, like where.
Yeah.
Where do I remember it being? And I remember last semester, literally last day of class, because I go to Eagles every day after lunch. It's close to where I have class, and I'm like, oh, they got rid of these wraps. Like they were a fan favorite.
Our
they
favorites.
Moved. They moved them upstairs.
Yeah.
And we're like, we didn't realize the entire semester.
So I would also say the honey key chicken.
Alright, your
or the chicken parm.
Yeah,
chicken parm.
There we go.
Right, yours Ooh, last year was the chicken parm. Yours was the chicken or the honey BBQ.
Same thing.
So
honey.
You guys
so my,
should have it.
Yeah, not changing.
There we go.
What about funniest teammate?
Mine's definitely different from last year.
Well, it's changed. It's Brady Berard.
Okay.
I'd say Brady Berard or There's two, either Teddy Stiga or Timmy Delay. Those are like my two.
You said Timmy last year.
You got
I said
one.
Timmy last year.
Paul Davey dropped out.
Oh, Paul's still. We've got a pretty funny team.
I give it to Jan. Yeah. I'll give it to Bubs and Brady Berard, and I'll also give it to Teddy Stiga.
Teddy Stiga. Okay. Just,
all right, then favorite. Okay, favorite pregame song.
We don't have your answer for this one. We have one for Jacob.
I always listen to the same three songs when I'm doing my like pregame warm up. It's probably "Don't Tempt Me" by Luke Combs. That's definitely different than what it was last year.
Yeah, Me Versus Me last year.
Well, that was
that was our walkout song.
So that was probably like the last song I listened to on game days when we walk out. Mm-hmm. It's changed this year when we play in the locker before we go out.
What do you play now?
Skrill if I go that box.
Who's on aux?
Pazwa.
Nice.
Well, you didn't have a pregame song. You say you love Lizzo.
Yeah, I do. I still love Lizzo. I'll give it Thunderstruck.
Okay.
Favorite class, BC.
Segment, Jackson.
What did I say last year, Courage Shaw?
No, you probably said music.
Y'all went for.
Yeah. You said intro to music.
Knew it. So. My favorite one now is, I took a sports in the digital age class last semester. That was a good one.
Chris Cotillo.
Yep.
That's a good class.
What happened to innovation through design?
Innovation was awesome. Sports class was better though because it was Mondays. He took us bowling.
What?
Leno won it, which sucks.
Yeah.
Wow. Me and Gabriel lost.
You go to American Flat Rides. It's not bowling. It's a
mini
bowling.
What it is up here though. That's what bowling.
No, it was a lot of fun.
Really? Yeah, it's just small pin bowling.
Yeah, it was.
It's the only state. It's the only state. You sure about that? I 100%.
You grew up in Mass. He knows what he's doing. He's bowled at a regular alley before.
When I was growing up, my family had a house in Otis, Mass, and we went bowling once in Otis, and they said that this is how we do it in Massachusetts. So I just assumed.
I don't know if they're stuck in colonial times anymore.
Ryan, have you been to a regular bowling alley? Okay, so that's clearly not how they do it.
I think this is
all right. I'm glad we cleared this up.
What were the classes? Oh, I like public speaking. That was fun. I like math.
We took
ideas of math.
Ideas of math.
Oh, we actually heard that. Well,
it was we had me, Leno, Gabe, Gasser, Nolan, Timmy.
Jesus. They let you guys like all
there was somebody else. Yeah, we had six guys in it, and it was so nice. The teacher.
She was so nice.
But she would only have class for like
ideas of math.
25 to 30 minutes per class.
Yeah, we always had like betting lines before class. It would be like 26 minutes.
Open up a book.
Well, there were no exams either. Like math core in college at BC that doesn't have exams. We were like,
that's
sign
insane.
Me up.
Class is good.
I think Petralia took that class with Cutter. I don't know. He's not here to defend himself.
Oh.
Is that the last question, Pepper? Do we have one more?
That was the last from last year's, but hobby-wise, you guys also had some hobbies that you guys mentioned. Fortnite and golf. I think this was you, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, still Fortnite kind of came back a little bit.
Do you like the new season?
I haven't played in like a week, so maybe we'll see what happens tonight. But yeah, golf won't change. See, every summer I try to get into fishing more and more, and I just got no patience for it. So, it's fun to go out there though with friends.
Mm-hmm. At least golf's a little more active.
Yeah.
You can swing it, right?
Yeah,
pretty good. How about you, Fowler? You got?
I mean, I like to golf, but I definitely say I'm not in the same category as Lenny. I don't take it quite as serious. But
I mean, you play. It's
I mean, I definitely get out there and get on the course.
That's better than a lot of people. It's better than
Jackson here. I don't have the patience to play 18.
Oh.
Last year you said you were a scratch. And that's still true. Right?
You're not a scratch. You're a one.
I'm a one.
Please.
I went up a little bit.
He's
got to
play
in off summer. So
we got to set up the beacon.
Try to figure it out this summer. And get it back.
We
got to
try and get like a charity golf tournament going.
Beacon Street Invitational?
Yeah.
He's like not even fun to play with though.
Yeah.
That's
just straight face the entire time.
Well, just like he gets like pissed if he's not playing. Like, we go out there because the sun's out and like it's like a nice course.
He's going out there
making sure his handicap's not gonna get messed up and going out playing bad. But yeah.
What's the lowest you've ever gone?
69.
Oh,
wow.
He's a muff.
That's like the perfect day though.
Was that like three under at a course?
Yeah, it was three. I shot 69 twice now. It was this summer. This summer was a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
Because it was two birdies, one eagle, and one bogey.
Oh.
So it was just consistent. It was just par the whole time. I lost one ball out of bounds.
Lost a ball in
Texas? Yeah, but it was. Wow. Yeah. It was red stake, so if you know golf, it was only one stroke.
Yeah, you're fine.
So I still made six, but it was tough.
It was your one bogey.
Yeah. I'll give
it
up. The best golf player on the team?
You'd
say yes. Okay.
Handicap-wise, yes. Sometimes I'm not a consistent, like, one, though. Like, I don't play like this. I play like this. So,
Any given Sunday? Maybe some of those guys that are low could.
Yeah, Posma, Berard, Traeger.
Traeger plays a lot.
Traeger just looks weird when he plays. He plays
so weird. But no, Pause is the fastest golfer you're ever play with.
I like that.
He stands up, the ball doesn't even look at him. It's gone.
He's still nasty.
Yeah, it's weird.
Natural.
But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun playing with teammates too, and bragging rights for sure.
You guys got after it a little bit this summer.
Mm-hmm. And in the fall too, it was good.
Yeah, so. Fall is great.
Yeah, it was good.
Where do you guys play around here?
Timmy DeLay is actually.
Yeah, Timmy. So Timmy's course that he plays at the most is in the Key. So the boys.
It was weird. We did this way too much.
They would buzz down to the Cave on like a Sunday afternoon. They're probably the only people going down.
Yeah. Or a weekday. What's the mass in
the Pike?
No, the mass of the Holy Spirit.
I think it like the
church.
I think it like the high.
We did the mass outside instead. Last year it was in Conti. We did it out there, and Timmy taps me in the middle of mass. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he's like, let's go to the Cave.
The weather
was like 85 and sunny.
Oh, you got it.
And he's like, let's go to the Cave. Come on.
Take advantage.
What are you going to do? Like,
what course was it? I played in the Cave before, but.
Sacanasset.
Oh, that course is beautiful.
It's hard, though. It's a hard course.
It's not even fun.
It's the hardest course I've ever played, but it's so much fun. And right away, you run to the dorm and change your golf clothes and you drive an hour and a half.
Well, it's really quick to get down. I spent summer on the Cape last year. I came up here to see a Red Sox game with some of my buddies. It was,
it's nice.
Quick and easy.
You play the until basically the cart guys yell at you to bring the cart in, and then you drive back, and it takes like an hour and 10 minutes because
no one's
driving
there
at that point.
Right.
So
it's a long day, but it's a fun day.
Yeah.
Well, they did it way too much. Like,
We did it a concerning amount.
Well, so we have an 8-man now, but we only have 7 guys in it. And it would be like him, I think that's about it from the room. Nobody else, I think, would go, but it'd be like, those two guys would be gone, like, all day.
Like,
and we'd just, they could be anywhere, but we'd just assume they went down to the Cape to play golf, because it happened at least 5 or 6
and
times.
It sounds daunting, because it sounds like it's a long way away, but it's not really
but
that
the course
bad,
is so much fun. It's so hard, and it's so much fun. And, like, towards the end, we were, or no, not towards the end, I mean, we did it a good amount of times. We would play 18, and then if we had an hour left before we had to get the carts in, we would just play 2v2, like, scramble. So, like, the first 18, like, you're playing your own ball, like, you're playing for something, and then you get, once the round's over, and you're like, come on, like, we don't have to go back to school yet. Let's play a little scramble. So we'd always make it a little bit more interesting before actually had to drive back to school.
Before we wrap up with one final question, we have something here under Jacob's rapid fire that says update on the Sunday bar. I wasn't here for your episode, Jacob.
So there was
Pepper. Can you
clear
the air?
You remember the Sunday bar
interview?
Sunday bar at
TT. Yeah, at TT's. So like,
did it ever come back?
Yeah, we had to put in a note for that.
Yeah, we had to throw it out there. Like, mom, we just swept. Like,
yeah, we were kind of under the impression last year that it was anytime you swept, you got Sunday bar.
Oh, okay.
Ambro kind of threw that in our heads.
Yeah, he kind of threw that.
I don't think that was fully a thing. Yeah. But so I think last year, like,
you kind of have to throw it at the chef.
Yeah.
Say like, hey. Yeah.
Well, last year we went 34-6, so we swept a lot, and it wasn't.
It wasn't the
best. So it was like week. We got it after we won Hockey East. So we were like, oh, like as it should be. Like we won Hockey East, Sunday bar back.
Yeah.
It hasn't been out a ton this year.
It's probably been there two or three times.
But we've only swept a couple times. We've been having like weird schedules. So
okay,
came back actually. While they were at World Juniors, we stay in a hotel because you can't be in the dorms.
Yeah,
but we stay at that hotel right across the street from
on
Boss.
The highway.
So like when they were playing on New Year's Eve, the gold medal game, we were all over there, watch them there, and then there's a place underneath the hotel, but we were there pretty much the whole time. But
Boss is the go-to.
It's just the nice and worst thing about it is that you can't get a reservation there.
The other problem is it's too small.
No, that's the best part.
No, that's the yeah. That's
the best part. There's
a lot of people that want to go. It's a popular spot.
It's the best part. But that place is awesome. The people that work there are nice.
Oh yeah.
It's a big New England kind of hockey spot.
The people that work there.
Regulars.
We gave some of the guys that work there tickets to a couple games. But
nice.
Did we sign a jersey?
Yeah, we signed a jersey.
There is a jersey hanging in there.
Yeah, but like those guys love it. We have like mutual connections through all those guys. One of the guys that works there is like a Needham High hockey coach. So
nice.
The rink daily is right over there too. That's like a little hockey community. There's a rink right behind it. So it's definitely a fan favorite of the boys during football season.
You guys are big football fans like Goose?
Not as much as Goose.
He's a huge. He'll request that we do picks every time it comes on.
Yeah.
Like we'll pick all the games.
Were you with him when Georgia lost?
Yeah.
Oh no.
What was that like?
Well, which game? I'm thinking
the Sugar Bowl.
The Sugar Bowl was big. My best Goose moment was the Georgia Tech game. That was like the first crazy OT game.
Eight OTs, baby.
I was sitting next to Goose the whole time, and I don't remember who he wanted to win, but it was like he was just dying on every play. Like,
he's a Georgia guy, so I imagine.
Yeah, he was every single time anybody scored or didn't score. You would have thought something was over for him. His dad was actually there too, and his dad was like,
with you guys.
Well, his dad's a hockey player too. Like, much as you know, they like Georgia. You know, his dad doesn't really care. He sees Goose just jumping up and down with each time. That's probably my favorite Goose football moment from this year.
That's
at least
incredible. Yeah, so. But no football fandom for you guys, not really.
I mean,
BC football games were fun, but like.
Yeah.
I don't really follow football a ton. I'll probably watch the Super Bowl, but didn't watch one snap of the national championship. Was too tired.
That's right.
No, I didn't either.
You didn't miss much.
No. That was good.
Yeah. Growing up, though, I loved watching the Patriots. And
you had the greatest Edelman. Sports childhood ever.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Until they started sucking.
Yeah.
They got Vrabel. So.
They got Vrabel. It's going to be good. And we're hoping this weekend goes well for you guys hosting BU. We often end with this, I feel like. Well, Jackson, first of all, can you clear air on the theme?
It's a whiteout.
Whiteout again. So they're going whiteout again, trying to replicate that main atmosphere.
Whiteout's the best one because everyone has white clothes, too.
Yeah.
I still think one of the coolest themes that was kind of slept on last year, the black was cool, but even though we lost to Northeastern, we don't wear maroon at all at home. And when we had the maroon out last year against Northeastern, even though we lost, that was one of the coolest games.
I believe one was attempted, right?
That was supposed to be last week. We just announced it the same day. So.
Well, no, I'm just saying when we wore maroon 2 last year against Northeastern, like.
No, but even like the Denver game, that black, that was.
That picture's everywhere.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, even Zeev Bouyam on Denver, he was like, it was hostile to play in there. Like,
yeah, you guys.
Dark was
any game.
I think the white.
I also have another, now that we're talking about like big crowds. Changing my BU favorite moment. Last year we had the Bruins anthem singer sing the anthem.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't hear him because the students sang over him for the anthem. That was probably my favorite moment.
Yeah. Was that series. Patrice Bergeron was at one of those games?
That was not that game.
That was a Saturday game.
Was that Saturday game?
The kids playing.
Yeah. Oh, that was also the one where the Bruce Arians
was there. Yeah, there's a bunch
I've
of
Bruins
guys
more than
around. Like,
once
Swayman was there for the series against Maine.
Oh, yeah.
Their coach.
I remember I looked up like above their bench and Swayman was there with his girlfriend or wife.
Amber Maine comes to see a bunch of Maine Swayman jerseys.
Yeah.
That's got to be cool. And then to bring it back to BU as we wrap up here. Obviously, stepping on the ice, another big atmosphere expected. This one, top 10 matchup, What's the final thoughts going in for you guys as you finish up prep this week?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow we have one more practice with the basketball team being in Conti. We're going to Warrior, so just having another, being loose out there, having a fun skate, and get this guy's confidence up, and we'll hopefully get my confidence up a little bit. And
you guys fine.
It's a feel-good skate, and everyone's just going to be super excited. These is the easiest games to get up for the whole year, and to be here Saturday night too, I think that's is something that's a little bit slept on too, I think. Hopefully get the job done first on Friday, and then have an opportunity to sweep in your own place on Saturday night is going to be a good time.
I always wonder, and I want to add this, you just made me think of it before we get to our final question. It's always, I think, for us that don't do this every weekend, it's, I think, hard to wrap our minds around how you guys treat these like any other games. You hear a lot of athletes say it's any other game, but when that atmosphere is there, it's hard to do that. I don't know, maybe for you guys, I would think it's hard to do that. How do you guys internalize that as you go to play a team like this, but also in that environment?
I mean, yeah, I think it's obviously different. I think
probably also different for you, goalie and player, so different.
But I mean, I think for me at least, coming from juniors where you're not playing in front of a ton of people on a nightly basis to last year's, you know, crazy as it is to say, like, you kind of get not used to it, but you learn to kind of just embrace it that, you know, if you want to play this game, you know, as a career, you're going to have to learn how to play in front of, you know, large amounts of people, whether it's fans or people that don't want to see you win. And you know, I think last year we got to play in plenty of big games and, you know, big atmospheres that, you know, I think for me it's, you know, you want to play in those big games and big moments. And I said, I think in an interview like last weekend that, you know, these Tuesday night games or games where students haven't been here, we've all been just waiting to get, you know, home games on Fridays and Saturdays back here, because it doesn't matter who we play, the students have been awesome. And like Leno said all podcasts, that it's easy to get up for these games. And whether you're seeing red or you're going to be seeing white, you know, at Conti, you know, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. And at the end of the day, you just, you know, get 3 points each night, and, you know, that's the weekend.
We can't wait for it. This game's the gift that keeps on giving. Jackson, you want to ask the final question?
So in honor of Nick Petralia, his favorite question he asks all the athletes, do you have anything that you want to plug in this, any sponsorship?
You know, NIL's come a long way since we had you guys on
any
last.
NIL deals or anything
any
or, deals you want?
Or any ones that you want, if you don't have any.
We were actually just talking about this, like what our dream NIL would be.
Who said dinner. Mercedes, I remember.
I wouldn't do Mercedes. We've always talked about, like, Uber. Uber, ooh, Uber, well, like, you think
they
about it.
Well, Boston,
no, but, like, we're saying, like, a dream.
It's a dream,
like,
Pepper.
Think about, like, Uber Eats, like, Uber, DoorDash, like, I don't know, like, stuff anything. Like that, that's, like, kind of a
especially
daily thing.
Especially in Boston, too, where you're, like, going out and, like,
Uber's so expensive.
Yeah, and you're spending all that money. That'd be a little, make your life
Uber easier. Would be by far the best one.
I like that. That's creative.
Yeah, the Uber truck on campus today. Should have stopped
they
by
did.
And,
I didn't get free burritos.
Oh yeah, we saw it today when we got to the rink. It was by the rack.
Yeah.
They don't have to go. They get free burritos. All right, 52. Guys.
52.
Technically, it's still free burritos, but it's only one per week.
Exactly.
That makes sense. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on again. So happy to have you on. Good luck this weekend. And it's been a hell of a night, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.